Good morning, and a warm welcome to worship this morning. A welcome especially if you join us as a visitor for our worship this morning, during which we celebrate the sacrament of Holy Communion. Just to say that an incorrect version of the order of service has been issued today, and anything could happen this morning. My advice would be not to pay too much attention to it. We have a call to worship on the screen. Around the world, people gather to break bread and pour wine. We gather with them in heart and mind. Around the world, the broken body is made whole. As part of that body, we join in its unity. Around the world, the banquet of God is prepared for the table. We who share in the banquet come eagerly to be fed. Let us worship together. Let us share God's bounty. Let's praise his name as we sing hymn 157, Sing of the Lord's Goodness. We don't have a lot of you this morning. Oh, we have got a few of you. Yes, okay. You guys want to come down to the front, Edwin? Well, good to see you all this morning. And I'm going to tell you a story today. We're going to have a story this morning. And Ian, if you can. Thank you. It's a story that we find in a book called Acts, which is the book in the Bible that tells a story about what happened in the early church, in the early days of the beginning of the life of the church. Lots of amazing things happened. And the first followers of Jesus had some pretty amazing adventures. And they had a fantastic time spreading the news about Jesus. But it wasn't always fantastic. Sometimes it was exciting. Sometimes it was wonderful. But also, there were people who didn't like what they were saying. And they faced people who were angry when they talked about Jesus all these years ago. So this is a story about the first miracle that two of the followers of Jesus did. This is after Jesus has died and he's gone to heaven. And the followers of Jesus were going about doing amazing things. And the first miracle that they performed was to heal a man who couldn't walk. And Rebecca's going to tell us the story now from the children's Bible. And let's just listen to the story as we find it in the Bible. We're going to actually do this story three times today. We're going to hear it from the Bible, then we're going to do some actions with it, and then we're going to sing a song that tells the story. Okay, so let's listen to it from the Bible first of all.
One day, Peter and John went up to the temple in Jerusalem, and while they were there, they saw someone carrying a man on a stretcher. This man had never been able to walk, and each day someone carried him to the temple gate and left him there to beg for money. When he saw Peter and John, he asked them for some money. Peter said, "I have no money to give you, but I will help you. I order you in the name of Jesus, get up and walk." And he took the man's hand and helped him to stand up. Suddenly the man's feet and ankles became stronger, and he did get up and begin to walk. So he went into the temple with Peter and John, jumping up and down as he went along, praising God in front of everyone.
Thank you very much. So that's how we find it in the Bible. And I want you to come out now and we'll do some actions for the story. And I'm sure young church leaders would be delighted to join in as well. Okay, so if you all want to stand up, stand along here. Okay. So, we didn't hear this in the story, but the story begins at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Okay, so it was 3 o'clock. Is that 3 o'clock? That way? 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Oh, thereabouts. It might have been 9 o'clock, but I think it was 3 o'clock. And it was prayer time. Okay. And it was also God's time. But for one man, it was begging time. Okay. Down the knees and put your hands out to beg. And this man went to the temple, which is like the church, every single day to beg. But he couldn't get there on his own. He had to be carried. Okay, so his friends would carry him and place him in front of the temple where he would beg. Okay. And one day, Peter and John came along and they told him that he could stand up and he could walk. Okay, so stand up. He was able to walk again. And now it was joyful time. And he leapt for joy. And he was so happy, put his hands in the air, and he was amazed because suddenly he could walk again. Okay, so there we are. Thank you very much. That's the second way of telling it. Okay. Now we're going to have a song that tells the story. And this also in the song reminds us that you need to come back. No, you're not quite finished. No, no, oh no. We need you up here singing the song. It's because you're going to sing a song. Right, okay, fair enough, don't worry. It's to the tune of One Man Went to Mow. You know that nursery rhyme? One man went to mow a meadow. One man and another man and his dog went to mow a meadow. That one, okay? This is a different version of it, okay? This tells the story. It also reminds us that some of the enemies of the early followers of Jesus did not like what was happening, and they were angry about it. Okay, so we're all ready to sing along, and everybody can join in with this one, okay, not just boys and girls. Here we go. Are we ready? One man went to beg for money. One man on his mat sat, went to beg for money. Two men went to pray as usual. Two men, one man on his mat sat right outside the temple. Three men at the gate, one hoping for a handout. Three men, two men, one man on his mat sat hoping for a handout. A fourth man's name was said, a name worth more than money. Jesus, three men, two men, one man on his mat sat, whose legs were feeling funny. Five men gathered round, hearing the commotion. Five men, Jesus, three men, two men, one man not on his mat sat, but doing the locomotion. Six men from the temple came to stop this real din. Six men, five men, Jesus, three men, two men, one man walking, leaping, saying Jesus healed him. Seven men in a prison heard about this story. Seven men, six men, five men, Jesus, three men, two men, one man praising God, made sure they heard the story. Eight men told them off, stop this talk of Jesus. Eight men, seven men, six men, five men, Jesus, three men, two men, one man all still spoke all about this Jesus. Nine men prayed to God, thanked him for his power. Nine men, eight men, seven men, six men, five men, Jesus, three men, two men, one man prayed to God all inside an hour. 10 men on that day saw good news brought by Jesus. 10 men, 9 men, 8 men, 7 men, 6 men, 5 men, 4 men, 3 men, 2 men, 1 man. Amen. For good news brought by Jesus. Very good. Well done. So there we are. It's an amazing story. And it's a reminder that in the early church, in the beginning of the church, there was great power. There were people doing amazing and wonderful things. And today, we can still have that power. We may not always have the power that Peter and John had just to tell somebody to stand up and walk, but we have the power of prayer, and we have the power of love. And when we come to God in prayer, when we ask God to help other people, God listens to our prayers, and God loves us. And that's so important today. I'm going to say a prayer about that now. So let's bow our heads and close our eyes and pray to God. God, our Father, we thank you for the story of Peter and John, bringing a man to new life because now he could walk again. A man who was a beggar, a man who relied on other people to help him, was suddenly given new life. He was a new creation in Jesus. Lord, we thank you that new life and love and the power of prayer are still here for us today. We thank you that through Jesus we can have hope and we can all be a new creation. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, now we're going to sing the song and we'll all stand to sing. I think it starts fairly quickly. I am a new creation.
My heart is joy that knows no limit, a lightness in my spirit, here in the grace of God I stand. And we'll praise you, Lord, and I will praise you, Lord, and I will sing of all that you have done. A joy that knows no limit, a lightness in my spirit,
let us pray. Lord God, you are the gift giver who calls us together here with all our different gifts, our ideas, our different tastes in life. You call us together from different backgrounds, different ages, different experiences of life. You call us together, Lord, but we may be different, and yet we are all one in Jesus. You call us together knowing that we need you. We need you in our lives. We need your love. We need your compassion. We need your understanding, and we need your guidance. You call us together here to your house today to sing, to pray, to listen, to speak, to be refreshed and renewed so that we can go out and serve you in the name of Jesus. God, as we worship you this day, encircle us with the tenderness of your love. Enfold us in the security of your arms. Reassure us of your loving presence around us and within us. Help us to sing with enthusiasm and joy, to listen to your word carefully, to listen to your word preached, and be with us as later in the service we gather today to meet you in the sacrament of communion. Help us to take these gifts of bread and wine in humble thanksgiving, believing that we will be fed with the bread of life. Heavenly Father, where we've hurt other people, where we've put people down, when we've belittled others, Lord, please forgive us. If we've been rude and abrupt with someone, if we've been thoughtless in our actions, if we've regretted the words that we've said, but then it's too late, Lord, forgive us. Forgive us for all of our failings, for times when we have let you down and not followed in the way that Jesus has shown. Lord, we are sorry. In the name of Christ, who is our Savior and our Lord, we bring all of these, our prayers, to you, and we say together the words that Jesus himself taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Well, one or two intimations this morning to draw to your attention. A reminder that the church magazine is now available for distribution with extra copies at the church doors, and also details given about Life and Work, the March issue, which is now available. And you're all very warmly invited to the Wednesday Club that meets this coming Wednesday, when Robert Cook will speak about antiques. So do come along. It's always a very enjoyable time at the Friendship Club, always followed by tea and coffee. And we have a couple of postcards this morning. And the first one is from Eric Steen, Liz and Eric Steen, who says, "Greetings from a village near Paris, where Liz and I are house and dog sitting for our son Andrew and their family, who are away on holiday. Last Sunday, Eric attended this small Protestant church, which is called a temple here, and the service is called a cult." Right. Very intriguing. I must find out more from Eric what that was all about. Very interesting. Thank you very much to them. And from Nairn, we have a postcard from Kathleen and Helen, who are back in Nairn. "The weather is wet and windy. The hotel is good, and there's too much food. They've tried pottery painting, and they've been to the old Lovett Lodge Hotel, which is now fancy and modern. And they're booked in for a meal on Friday and back next Sunday." So thank you very much to Kathleen and Helen for their postcard. Now we turn to the Word of God, and the reader this morning is Richard Little.
Both readings this morning are from the New Testament, and the first is from Mark chapter 1, reading from verses 21 to 28, and that's on page 1002 of our Bibles. Page 1002, Mark chapter 1, verses 21 to 28. Jesus drives out an evil spirit. They went to Capernaum, and when the Sabbath came, Jesus went into the synagogue and began to teach. The people were amazed at his teaching, because he taught them as one who had authority, not as the teachers of the law. Just then a man in their synagogue, who was possessed by an evil spirit, cried out, "What do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." "Be quiet," said Jesus sternly. "Come out of him." The evil spirit shook the man violently and came out of him with a shriek. The people were all so amazed that they asked each other, "What is this? A new teaching and with authority. He even gives orders to evil spirits and they obey him." News about him spread quickly over the whole region of Galilee. And the second reading, it's from Acts. Chapter 8, reading from verses 9 to 25, and that's on page 1101 of our Bibles. Page 1101. Simon the sorcerer. "Now for some time a man named Simon had practiced sorcery in the city and amazed all the people of Samaria. He boasted that he was someone great, and all the people, both high and low, gave him their attention and exclaimed, 'This man is the divine power known as the Great Power.' They followed him because he had amazed them for a long time with his magic. But when they believed Philip, as he preached the good news of the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Simon himself believed and was baptized, and he followed Philip everywhere, astonished by the great signs and miracles he saw. When the apostles in Jerusalem heard that Samaria had accepted the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them. When they arrived, they prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit had not yet come upon them. They had simply been baptized into the name of the Lord Jesus. Then Peter and John placed their hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. When Simon saw that the Spirit was given at the laying on of the apostles' hands, he offered them money and said, "Give me also the ability so that everyone on whom I lay my hands may receive the Holy Spirit." Peter answered, "May your money perish with you, because you thought you could buy the gift of God with money. You have no part or share in this ministry, because your heart is not right before God. Repent of this wickedness and pray to the Lord. Perhaps he will forgive you for having such thoughts in your heart. For I see that you are full of bitterness and captive to sin." Then Simon answered, "Pray to the Lord for me, so that nothing you have said may happen to me." When they had testified and proclaimed the word of the Lord, Peter and John returned to Jerusalem, preaching the gospel in many Samaritan villages. Amen. May the Lord add his blessing to these readings of his holy word, and to his name be all praise and glory.
Well, now let's sing again. We sing the hymn number 718, "We Cannot Measure How You Heal." The song that we've just sung was written by John Bell and Graham Moll of the Iona community. And sadly, Graham Moll died recently at the age of just 61. And strangely, a former leader of the Iona community, the Reverend Peter MacDonald, also died suddenly recently and without warning, also at the age of 61. Peter was minister at a church in Edinburgh. I didn't know Peter well, but like me, he was born in Dumbarton, and his mum and my mum know each other. He attended the same school as me, and we were colleagues together as ministers in Kirkcaldy Presbytery for a number of years. The suddenness of a premature death out of the blue is very upsetting and disturbing. And I've thought about Peter and his family every day since I heard that he had died. And I can't help but ask God why such things should happen. Why someone so full of life, with a wife and a family, with so much to offer the church and society, should be taken so suddenly. There are no easy answers. It's come on top of the news about a colleague whom I do know very well, not from this area, who has been diagnosed with a brain tumor and who is younger than me. Events like these make me think about the mystery of life and the mystery that is God. Does God have a plan for us? And if he does, why is it so difficult sometimes to understand that plan? I always hold on to the belief that one day we will understand in the life beyond this one. But what's important to say is that there are some answers, not particularly adequate answers, but I think the song that we've just sung offers some of them. And it certainly gives me comfort and strength amidst the mystery of human suffering and pain. And I'd like to just look a bit more closely at the verses of what I personally think is the best song that Graham Moll and John Bell wrote. It begins with an interesting phrase: we cannot measure how you heal. Interesting, because to me that sums up the fact that God's healing power is a mystery. The reality is that we cannot measure how God heals. We don't know how he does it. We don't understand the science of it by any means whatsoever. And the second line says that we also cannot measure how God answers every sufferer's prayer. There are those who've applied scientific tests to see if prayer can make a difference to people who are unwell. If someone is being prayed for alongside somebody else who is ill but who isn't being prayed for, can you analyze a difference? And apparently the results were pretty inconclusive. And it does lead to the question, why does God seem to answer some prayers but not others? Why do those who are suffering continue to pray even when their suffering does not go away? There's no simple answer to this. Again, it's acknowledging that God is mystery. But then the song goes on to say that the belief is there, that God's grace responds. God's love is there. Even if we don't always appreciate it, even if it doesn't always happen in ways that we expect. And there is an acknowledgement that even within our doubts, even when we're deeply unsure as to whether God is listening or caring, his grace does still respond. And sometimes it's not about someone with a great, strong faith praying to God. Sometimes it's someone who is suffering, who is filled with faith but also doubt, seeking God's grace. And then come to the sentence in the song where we read that God, through Christ, experiences the cross. These bloodied hands, hands which were nailed to a cross, are still hands there for us today, to heal us, to hold us, and interestingly, to warn us. as well. The Christ who suffered understands the suffering of humanity today, and he holds us and heals us through death to life. And the verse ends with the line, "and cradles children yet unborn." Even in the womb, before we are born, God's love is there for us. An echo of Psalm 139, "For you created my inmost being, you knit me together in my mother's womb." The second verse focuses on the pain that people experience, which might be physical or mental pain, the guilt that clings from things long past. We want to shake it off. We want to start again, but something we did in the past or didn't do just won't allow it. And it's a terrible burden. And the need to be healed from that burden of guilt is very important for people who cannot forgive themselves. And then for all of us, there's the fear, the mention of the fear of the unknown future. The fact that life can be turned upside down in an instant. Fear of redundancy. Fear of something happening to our loved ones. Fear of a marriage ending. Fear of illness and death. But again, the song gives us hope. It reminds us that amidst guilt from the past and fear about the future, love is always present. A love which is there amidst our private agonies and the memories that haunt us. The things, the secrets, which perhaps only Jesus knows about, his love is there for us. And the final verse of the song is often used at a healing service. "So come, you who need your help, and some have come who need your help, and some have come to make amends." There's a reminder also that the hands of Jesus that shaped and saved the world are present as we worship in the touch of friends. And the song is saying here that we are Christ's hands at work. And sometimes in a healing service, people have the laying on of hands. It's not something maybe that we are always comfortable with in the Church of Scotland, but when that happens, I believe that Christ's hands are at work. And so the song concludes by asking the Spirit to meet us, to mend body, mind, and soul, to disentangle peace from pain. In other words, amidst the pain and the suffering, there's a plea that those who are hurting will find peace. And the final line is a reminder of what Jesus came to do. He came amongst broken people, the physically disabled, the mentally ill, the outcasts ostracized by their communities, the poor living from hand to mouth, and he brought wholeness. He healed them. That's what the healing ministry of Christ was all about. In the Bible study group, we've been exploring the book of Acts, and we discussed the passage that we heard read today, last week at the last meeting. And it's a fascinating passage in which a man called Simon is practicing sorcery in Samaria. He's amazing the people. He's being hailed as somebody great. People thought he had divine power. He amazes them with his magic. But then he meets Peter and Philip, and he witnesses them undertaking great signs and miracles, just as we heard about Peter and John when I was talking about it to the children, undertaking amazing miracles. Simon is very impressed, so much so that he's baptized, and he witnesses Peter and Philip laying hands on the people so that they receive the Holy Spirit. And Simon says, "I fancy that. I want to do that as well. Give me that power. Here's some money if you could give me this power." Peter gives him short shrift and says, "He has no part in this ministry. Put your money away. You cannot buy this power, this Holy Spirit." Peter says that Simon's heart is not right before God and he's captive to sin. Simon seeks forgiveness, but we don't know what happened to him afterwards. What I find fascinating about this passage is the contrast between the magic of Simon the sorcerer and the healing power of the disciples through the Holy Spirit. It's the same healing power that we heard about in Mark's Gospel today, where Jesus heals the sick and the demon-possessed. What's clear is that this power to heal and to undertake miracles by Jesus and later by the apostles is not a form of magic. It's not about trying to find the right formula or the right words. And some might say, well, then what is it? What is it is simply power that comes from the Holy Spirit. And again, it is mystery. But as Christians, we believe that there is healing power present through God in our lives, in our worship, in our communities. It's been recognized since the church began that the healing power is there. Sometimes I think it's been a bit tainted by some churches and organizations that engage in mass rallies that hype people up, that create hysteria, that have people even stopping taking their medicine and then becoming ill. Healing, I think, should happen quietly. There should be meditation. There should be silence. There should be gentle words and the gentle laying on of hands. It's not about some kind of magic cure, but it's an opportunity to allow people to express what's mentioned in the song, to bring to God their guilt, their fears, their private agonies, and their pain, to ask that God's people, through the power of the Spirit, will touch them and pray for them. It's very simple, but it's profoundly mysterious. So let's pray for the healers, for all who seek to bring wholeness and healing to those who are broken in mind, body, and spirit. Let's pray today for those who are hurting, for those who are broken. Let's pray for those who ask, as I must confess I have lately, why Lord, and why him? And let's rejoice in the mystery of God's healing power, which cannot be measured, but which in faith we believe is at work in this world. Amen. This is now where you ignore the order of service. Ignore the order of service, Margaret. We now worship God in the uplifting of the offering. Let us pray. Loving God, bless this offering, we pray. May we use these gifts wisely and well to advance your kingdom and your power in this church, in this community, in your world. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. We sing a new communion hymn, which is on the screen only, and it's to the tune, Slain, Come to God's Table. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Jesus Christ says, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. Jesus also says, come to me, all that are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. So now we gather round this table, which is the table not of the church, but of the Lord, made ready for those who love him and want to love him more. So come to this table, not because you must, but because you may. Not because you are strong, but because you are weak. Come not because any goodness of your own gives you a right to come, but because you need mercy and help. Come because you love the Lord a little and would like to love him more. Come because he loves you and gave himself for you. Come and meet the risen Christ, for we are his body. Let us now confess our faith. We say together, remaining seated, the words on the screen. We believe in a loving God whose word sustains our lives and the work of our hands in the universe. God is life. We believe in God's Son among us, who brought the seed of life's renewal. Jesus Christ is Lord. We believe in the Spirit of life who makes us one with God, whose strength and energy renews our own. The Spirit is love. St. Paul says, "For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it. And he said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.'" So as Jesus gave thanks at the Last Supper, let's do likewise now in prayer. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, you made all things in creation and called them good. You called people to come and follow you. You called Abraham to begin a journey that would lead to the promised land. You called Moses to free your people from the bondage of Egypt and journeyed with them through the wilderness. You sent prophets to call your people back to you. And then in the fullness of time, you sent your Son Jesus, your Word in flesh appearing. He became one of us, giving up his glory for our sake to make us whole. He died on a cross, and yet you raised him up to overcome the power of death. And so, Lord, we wait for the day when we too will share the fullness of life in him and with him. Lord God, come among us now. By the power of your Spirit, unite us with Jesus and all of us as we share this meal. Just as you sent out Jesus to be a presence in the world, send your Holy Spirit now on us and on these gifts of bread and wine, that the bread which we break may be to us the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the cup of wine which we bless the blood of Christ, so that as we eat and drink at his command, we might be united to him as one body, ready to serve you in the world. For it is in his name that we ask all of these things. Amen. The Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and after giving thanks, he broke it. And he said, "This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in memory of me." And at the same time, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup stands for the new covenant made by the cost of my blood. Whenever you drink it, do so in memory of me." And so, take and eat. This is the body of Christ, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of him. And take and drink. This is the blood of Christ, shed for you. Drink of it, all of you, in remembrance of him. Taste and see that God is good.
One cup of blessing. One.
Christ has died. Christ is risen. In Christ shall all be made alive. Let us pray. And during this prayer, we will sing a response. Holy, 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 my heart adores you. Let us pray. Loving God, we thank you for what we've received here at your table. We thank you for this meal and all that it means to us, reminding us of the birth, the life, the death, and the rising again of our Saviour Jesus. Sustaining God, we give you thanks for the eternal presence of your Spirit with us, surrounding us and filling us with divine life. We give you thanks for the fellowship that we have shared here today and for our love for each other as Christians. Holy, holy, holy Lord.
Holy, holy, my heart adores you. My heart is glad to say the words, you are holy.
Heavenly Father, hear us now as we pray for those who are in need, those known to us who are suffering in our world today. We pray for those experiencing illness and bereavement, a time of crisis in their lives, a time of loss. We pray for those, God, who are struggling day by day with a disability, with something that is bothering them that causes guilt and pain. We pray for those where relationships are under stress, but all those experiencing a time of difficulty in their lives. Lord, hear our prayers, we pray. Holy, holy, holy Lord.
Holy, 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 my heart adores you. My heart is glad to say the words, you are holy, Lord.
Lord, we pray for our world, for those who lost their lives with the terrorism in Germany, for those who are experiencing the difficulties of the after effects of flooding in parts of this country where it's turned their lives upside down and where people are experiencing great difficulty. We pray for all those experiencing the crisis of the coronavirus and those who've lost loved ones and those who are very ill. We pray for the relatives of the family killed in an appalling car crash in the Highlands this week. We pray for all those who are suffering in our world today, Lord, and take a moment of silence so that we can offer to you our personal prayers for those whom we love. Holy, holy, holy Lord.
Holy, 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 my heart adores you. My heart is glad to say the words, you are holy, Lord.
Lord, mend our bodies, minds, and souls. Disentangle peace from pain. Lord, make your people whole. Amen. A reminder that tea and coffee is served in the large hall. But now we close by singing another new communion hymn. And this one is called, We Thank You, God, for Feeding Us in Jesus Christ our Lord. God for feeding us in Jesus Christ our Lord. His body broken is our food, our life is cleansing blood. Through him we offer you ourselves, our all to be out into the world your glory to proclaim, and in your Holy Spirit's power to live and praise your name. Now go in peace, and may the blessing of God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you and those you love this day and forevermore.